Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Ernest Maddox of the Point of Light Christian Center and Dr. E. Maddox Ministries. We welcome you from around the world to this broadcast relative and pertinent to the Word of God. We encourage you to call a friend and have them to call in at 646-716-8530 so they can listen on their phones, or go online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Dr. Maddox. That's DrMaddox. We are here every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We want to encourage you to go to the bookstore, the ministry bookstore, www.DrEMaddox.org. We have a blessing there for you, all kinds of training materials, videos, MP3s that you can benefit from relative to the Word of God. There are three books that we have now: Impact of a Deliverance Prayer, Apostolic Manifesto, and Weapons of Our Warfare. Now, for a period of time, if you purchase Apostolic Manifesto and Weapons of Our Warfare, the book Impact of a Deliverance Prayer will be given free of charge. So I would encourage you to go to the website right now. You can reach us at Dr. E. Maddox Ministry via phone at 248-796-8523, the Point of Light Christian Center, 248-423-9289. We just want to take a moment to ask God to bless us as we move into the Word of God. I know that you will be blessed. So our great Father in heaven, we thank you now for the word that you are about to deliver over these airwaves. All of you be blessed, be delivered, and be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Now we will bring that Word of God.
Yo, we got something to say. You know, God's been so good. We've been trying to hold it. You know what? We can't hold it no more.
Oh, yeah. I gotta get up off my feet. There's a place
Come on.
I can't keep it to myself.
Or this weapon situation, scenario, trial, a threat has gotten the best of you somehow, and you are losing, or somehow you are a sinner, or God has stopped loving you, God does not hear your prayers, you are destined to be defeated, and you fall for the lie, the trick, the delusion, the distraction, and the enemy gains advantage of you. The devil is a bold-faced liar. A bold-faced liar. And the truth is not in him. He is trying to deceive you, like he did Job. But God brought Job out, and his latter was better than his first. He came out of it with more than he went in with. You can see the dilemma. You can feel the pain. You may be able to touch the evidence as well as see it, but it won't prosper. Oh, it may get some headway. It may be a little gain in order to lead you to believe that God is not there. But in Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 5, I'm going to paraphrase, we will go through tribulation in order that we may develop character, so that can produce hope. So that character can produce hope. The word says those who will live godly in Jesus Christ will experience some suffering, but we come out in the end victorious. We will see what it is stated in Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee, you shall prosper. That means it will not have victory. It will not win the war. A battle or two may lean in its direction, but when it's all over, you will be more than the conqueror. And every tongue that shall rise up against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. In other words, your faithfulness, your steadfastness, your ability to go to God in prayer and go to war and stand in that gap, even if it's your gap you're standing in, it says you shall condemn every issue. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Now, there's a criteria. The servants of the Lord. It's a heritage of the servants of the Lord. It's a heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, says God. I gave them the righteous heritage that will exist in them. They will have a heritage of righteousness that is from me because they are obedient, and it ends with, says the Lord. So you can't expect this level of victory unless you're serving God in spirit and in truth. John 4:23-24. Now I want to share a situation that occurred in what we call the Old Testament, in the book of Esther, with Mordecai Haman and Esther. Haman was a descendant, most scholars believe, a descendant of Agag's line. And of course, you know what happened to Agag. Saul didn't do his job. Samuel came in and did it, had Agag up. Evidently, some of his descendants got away, and this has been a kind of a blood feud passed down through the ages, whether it was done physically or whether a demonic force would instill that. It evidently impacted Haman. He hated the Jews, and he may have known why, and he may not have known. But that familiar spirit invasion is a whole nother subject. The reality is that Haman wanted the Jews dead, and in particular, he hated Mordecai. And he plotted against Mordecai to kill not only him, but all the Jews. But Mordecai had a ram in the bush by the name of Esther. And as the story goes on, there were several occasions where Haman wanted to do bodily harm or publicly disrespect Mordecai, and he ended up in a situation where he had to walk around with Mordecai on the emperor's horse and proclaim his greatness. Again, God showing intermittently that he was going to eventually deal with the entire situation regarding Haman. Haman built a gallows. Esther 7:9 and Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, "Behold," and this is after Esther had made it known what Haman was attempting to do, "Behold, also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai. He built a gallows 50 feet high for Mordecai, and Mordecai had to live daily seeing this gallows build and being taunted by Haman, "You're going to hang on that. Oh, yes, you, I'm building this to do you in." So Mordecai saw the weapon being formed, being built. He could see it on a daily basis. He recognized it on a daily basis. Can you imagine what Mordecai was going through? In his mind, at every point and juncture, he had to worry about Esther and what she was dealing with on a daily basis. He had to worry about his people and what they were going through in the various areas of that realm, that Persian kingdom under that emperor. He had to be concerned about what Mordecai had to do in order to survive against Haman. So he had himself, he had his people, and he had Esther that he had to advise. But he had to understand that God was in the process, because he continued to give great advice to Esther. He continued to have faith that God would deliver his people, and somehow Esther was a part of that. And he had faith that God would sustain him in order to complete that mission. Now let's go back to Esther 7:9. And it talked about the gallows being built. And one of the servants was saying, and Haman made it for Mordecai, who had spoken, good for the king. Mordecai had spoken good for the king, but Haman wanted him hung on the gallows that he prepared. Then was the king's wrath pacified. He said, okay, I'm already upset with Haman now. It said in verse 8, basically, that the king took Haman's house and gave it to Esther. The house of the enemies of the Jews, and gave it unto Esther. And he took of his ring, the king had a ring which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Esther 8, verse 7. I was reading in Esther 8, 1 and 2. Now we're jumping to verse 7. Then the king said unto Esther, the queen, and to Mordecai, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hung upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Notice what Haman had desired in his heart to do to Mordecai and his people. God used Esther to turn the tables. Now, there are several important things that I need to point out here. First of all, because Mordecai took care of his niece and tutored her, God used her to reverse the circumstances. One point I want to make here, never despise it when you have to reach down and help someone, take care of someone, guide someone, mentor someone who seems to be powerless or helpless or in no position to give back to you what you had given to them. Esther was a woman in a world that was ruled by men, but her uncle, who understood what it means to secure someone and give them hope and faith and watch over them and teach them, never knew or realized that this young girl would be the one to impact the world and change the course of history, least of all save his life. He saw the weapon formed against him and his nation of people scattered throughout a realm where they were considered second-class citizens at best and slaves most of the time. With all of this, plus the most powerful man in that kingdom or empire under the emperor king himself, Haman, hating him, wanting to do him personally, wanting to do his people personally, and actually had the king issue an edict to that effect, where all of the Jews would be destroyed. So the matter of him hanging Mordecai was just a minimum matter at best. But God, who kept his promise, hallelujah, kept his promise, again, I'm going to say, hallelujah, that he made in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee. And this is a timeless promise. It has historical, it has current event and futuristic impact. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you will eventually condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord of heavens. And I added that part, of heavens. And their righteousness is of me, speaking of the Lord, Lord Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He says, I have given my word. I have fixed my seal. I am the emperor of the universe, and not Haman of Esther's day, or the Haman of the Supreme Court of this day can stand. No weapon, no law, no edict that is formed against you, because it was first formed against me, and I'm speaking for the Lord right now in apostolic utterance. God is saying that Isaiah 54:17 is in effect right now. Some of us are dilemmalizing about the laws that are being passed. Fear not. Some of us are concerned about what we can and cannot say in our pulpits now. Do not be concerned. Some of us are worried about what we can conduct in the way of biblical policy and godly edict, because there's a Supreme Court in some places in this world that have decided to change the directive of God and form a weapon against those who serve the mighty eternal, the King of heaven, Lord Yeshua Jesus Christ, and the Father of lights, Lord Elohim, ruler of all, against the power that comes from and through them, namely the Holy Spirit. Some of you, some of us, may be thrown off by what we see and the weapons being formed against modern day servants of God. Christians, we call them, but I say loyal theocrats, subjects of the kingdom of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Apostle Dr. Ernest Maddox, and your God. I say to you, fear not. It's showtime. No weapon formed.